Do you understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium? World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Is globalism dead? Some writers are saying that globalism is dead. But I'm here to say today that globalism is far from dead, and when you hear the broadcast today, I think you will come to understand what I'm talking about. Several months ago, my wife and I went automobile shopping. We were considering buying a Volkswagen since it gets better gas mileage than the vehicle we were driving. As we began to read the stickers on it and the decals, we became intrigued with what we discovered. It was assembled in Mexico, and the engine and transmission were made in the Orient. The car had never seen the proverbial light of day in Germany. Yet some Americans foolishly believe that when they buy a Volkswagen, they are buying a German-made vehicle with superior manufacturing and engineering. And perhaps engineering is superior. And one could argue that it was designed in Germany, and German engineers added some safety features that stand out, but it was not manufactured in Germany. A German corporation owns the name and issues franchises to market the vehicle, but its production is a global effort. This is the case with most engine-powered vehicles, household appliances, and military weapons among the nations of the world today. Some way, somehow, the peoples of the world must be made aware of the fact that the concept of national sovereignty is rapidly becoming a historical relic in the minds of world leaders. The peoples of the West are increasingly being governed by the so-called Court of World Opinion. The U.S. and Bush administration are more and more feeling the wrath of the international community for basically going it alone in Iraq. And as the administration has pointed out on several occasions, the U.N. did pass resolutions that in effect sanctioned the U.S.'s action in Iraq. There was a coalition in the early days of the Iraqi war, but it has basically fallen apart with the U.S. and Britain now bearing the brunt of the burden of trying to bring peace and order to the chaotic situation in Iraq. But the nations of the world are filled with selfish desire, and when they see that their agenda and political future may be harmed by their involvement, they're quick to retreat to what they view as safer ground. Even the politicians in the U.S. who voted to give the administration the go-ahead in Iraq, now it's even Republicans along with Democrats, are now bailing out since they believe it is politically expedient as they face elections, congressional elections in November. But there are corporate leaders and think tanks at work that are devising ways to get around the great issues that have historically divided the nations. The great issues that have divided nations are, and this is not an all-inclusive list, but among the major issues that have divided nations are race, ethnicity, national origin, language, religion, education, economics, and the mores and culture of a nation. The intellectuals have basically learned that they cannot eradicate racial and ethnic hatred. They cannot quickly shift the culture of a people, causing them to embrace a different religious system and cultural values. But they've discovered a way to make the peoples of the world interdependent on each other. This strategy dates back to the dawn of civilization. He who owns the gold makes the rules. We also have heard the old saying, an army marches on its stomach. Incredibly, one of the main complaints of Israeli soldiers in their recent conflict with Hezbollah centered on the fact that they didn't have enough food and water to wage war. They found themselves scavenging for food off the soldiers of the dead bodies of Hezbollah. The world has now been forged into an interdependent global economic market that makes each nation dependent upon another nation or other nations for its economic prosperity. It seems that even students of prophecy forget the fact that goods that have no market are of no value. In fact, they are a liability. If China did not have the vast U.S. consumer-crazed population buying their cheaply manufactured goods, they would experience grave economic problems almost overnight. Almost every nation on earth depends on the U.S. buying a large share of their imports. This is changing somewhat on the world scene, but it's still basically the fact. Without the American market, the countries of the world would be facing economic difficulties. If there were no U.S. Consumers ready to buy these products, the impact on these economies would be drastic. In order for goods to be marketed, there has to be a vast infrastructure that allows for goods and services to be produced, distributed, marketed, sold, and purchased. This means that there has to be transportation systems on land, sea, and air. And there has to be a very sophisticated exchange system, that is a financial system, banking system, that can process the millions, yea, billions of transactions that occur on a daily basis. The financial systems of the world depend upon computers, and computers are powered by electricity. The world's economy, as it is structured today, is inextricably linked with the power grid. And at this juncture, a large percentage of the world's electricity is generated by fossil fuels. So it is no wonder the nations are scrambling to secure as much fossil fuel as they possibly can. All of this and more have to be in place for goods and services to flow around the world. The U.S. has by far the world's most sophisticated financial infrastructure. Billions of financial transactions are processed every day. Shut that system down and it would cause financial chaos throughout the world. One of the principal deterrents that still stands in the way of the nations returning to Babylon is national sovereignty. National sovereignty has been practically eliminated, though, when it comes to unilateral military action. A nation may go to war with their neighbor, but they will draw the ire of the international community and be pressured, usually quite shortly, into some kind of ceasefire agreement. The language barrier has been basically overcome, with about 70% of the world's business transactions being conducted in English. But until recently, the nations of the world have their own currency, and they pass tariff laws that can impede imports that might undercut the home market. The issue of national sovereignty in the economic arena can be overcome, however, by an economic union. That is what the people, the intellectuals, the academicians, the political leaders are now trying to implement. The European unity, the European Union is one such entity. Tariff barriers have been basically eliminated, and a common currency has been introduced. And the peoples are free to move throughout the Union without passports, so it is becoming more of a mega-state than a series of several smaller nations. The euro is now the official currency of the European Union. However, some member nations have rejected the euro as their domestic currency, but most of the trade between member nations is conducted in euros. For the past several years, world currencies have been measured against the dollar, but that may be changing. However, the dollar and U.S. sovereignty are still in place to some degree on the world scene. And even though both political parties embrace NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, the kind of, quote, free trade arena that U.S. politicians talk about has not yet been fully implemented. Now enter the newest project. The newest project that the intellectuals, think tank leaders, academicians, politicians, corporate leaders, and certain media outlets are advocating. The project is called in some quarters the North American version of the European Union. The following quote comes directly from the website of the Council on Foreign Relations. This project, that is, it's called the North American Community, is sponsored by the Council on Foreign Relations in association with Consejo Mexicano de Asuntos Internacionales and the Canadian Council of Chief Executives. Three former high-ranking government officials from Canada, Mexico, and the United States call for a North American Economic and Security Community by 2010 to address shared security threats, challenges to competitiveness, and interest in broad-based development across the three countries. The task force was chaired by Robert Pastor, Deputy Director of the Council on Foreign Relations. Pastor has written extensively on the subject and has authored a book titled Toward a North American Community. The project is apparently the brainchild of Mexican President Vicente Fox. A synopsis of the book reads as follows. The President of Mexico, Vicente Fox, has boldly proposed transforming the free trade area into a common market like Europe's. In this visionary study, Robert A. Pastor seizes Fox's idea and maps out the path toward making it a reality. He analyzes NAFTA's successes and shortcomings, extracts lessons from the European Union's 40 years of reducing disparities between rich and poor countries, and proposes ways that NAFTA can adapt and incorporate those lessons. The centerpiece of the book is a detailed proposal for new institutions and, quote, North American plans for infrastructure and transportation, immigration and customs, and projects aimed at lifting the poorer regions. This book is the first to propose a detailed approach to a North American community, different from the European Common Market, but drawing lessons from its experience. It will be of considerable interest to policymakers as well as researchers and students of international political economy, world trade, and foreign affairs. And this was posted by bookstore.com. You might say that this is just the rantings of a think tank intellectual, but that is far from the truth. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we will show you the plans that are afoot to implement this plan very shortly. What does all this mean in view of Bible prophecy? The world continues to move toward unity, especially in the economic sphere, where at the same time is probably divided in a way that has never been divided in human history. But at the same time, there are interdependent links in the economy that force the nations to have at least some kind of relationships with one another, especially the major nations. You need to understand what is really going on in the world today. We have a free publication that you can call for, the Good News Magazine, that helps you understand human endeavors in every sphere of life and how you can equip yourself spiritually for that which lies ahead. You know, the world is headed for some of the most critical, crucial, challenging times in human history. And much of what is going on is not really being told you. You're not really being apprised of it in the public media. So you need to call for this free publication. And at the same time, we'll send you the free booklet that helps you understand the purpose and plan of God, why you were born, and why you draw breath. That booklet is titled, What is Your Destiny? Your destiny can be to rule and reign with God and Christ as a king and priest, as God and Christ and the saints bring peace and prosperity to this earth. All the efforts of human beings will never bring that kind of peace because they do not understand the plan and purpose of God, and they do not understand the way of peace. So all you have to do to receive the free publications is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 1-888-886-5614. Toll-free number. No one will call on you, and there will be no follow-up unless you request it. So call that toll-free number, 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. In the first segment of our program, we'll apprise you of the fact that there is a project sponsored by the Council on Foreign Relations. It is called the North American Economic and Security Community, and the goal is to implement this by the year 2010. The Deputy Director of the Council on Foreign Relations, Robert Pastor, has written a book titled Towards a North American Community. The project is the brainchild of Mexican President Vicente Fox. And as we said in the first segment of the program, you might think that these are just the rantings of think tank intellectuals and politicians, but this is far from the truth. WorldNet Daily reported the following on June 13, 2006, this year. Quote, the groups working under the North American Free Trade Agreement Office and the Department of Commerce, and then the groups he's referring to are bureaucrats from Mexico, Canada, and the U.S., they have the goal of implementing this SPP, the Security and Prosperity Plan, or Partnership, of North America by 2010. It is reported in some quarters, in fact, WorldNet Daily reports, that this SPP, this Security Prosperity Partnership of North America, was signed by President Bush, Mexican President Vicente Fox, and then Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin in Waco, Texas, on March 23, 2005. However, President Bush denies signing any kind of binding agreement at this meeting. However, as we shall see, despite much opposition, plans are steadily progressing to implement the project as outlined in Robert Pastor's book, Toward a North American Community, Patterned After the European Union. In response to recent articles in conservative publications about the sovereignty, freedom, and economic dangers that will result from President Bush creating the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, the SPP has issued an unconvincing rebuttal. So they have tried to rebut what this means for Americans. The SPP, and you can find this at www.spp.gov/myths, it's on the website, starts by declaring that our three greatest nations share a belief in freedom, economic prosperity, and strong democratic institutions. Of course, one could argue whether or not that statement is true. Mexico has myriad problems concerning families' control of all the wealth, just a very few families, while the rest of the people are kept in abject poverty with no hope of economic opportunity, and is one of the main reasons why you see millions of them pouring across the border between Mexico and the United States. The document also states that SPP's mission is to make our businesses more competitive in the global marketplace. One analyst writes that this is globalist double talk, which means producing U.S. goods with cheap foreign labor, thereby destroying the U.S. middle class. The website Democrats.com reports that the Bush administration is advancing the plan. A central feature of this project is a 10-lane, and this has been written about extensively. If you want to know about this, all you have to do is go on the web. And as you go on the web, you put into your search engine the North American Project. The central feature is a 10-lane, 400-yard-wide superhighway from the Mexican port of Lázaro Cárdenas up to and across the U.S. border all the way to Canada. Within the median stripe dividing the north and the south, car and truck lanes would be rail lines for both passengers and freight traffic, and oil and gas pipelines, etc., etc. The superhighway will run through the heartland of the United States along Interstate 35 from the Mexican border at Laredo, Texas, to the Canadian border north of Duluth, Minnesota. Once complete, the new road will allow containers from the Far East to enter the United States through the Mexican port of Lázaro Cárdenas, bypassing the Longshoremen's Union in the process. Note carefully that this would allow imports from the Far East, China in particular, to enter the U.S. virtually bypassing all U.S. authorities. The Mexican trucks, without the involvement of the Teamsters Union, will drive on what will be the nation's most modern highway straight into the heartland of America. The Mexican trucks will cross the border in fast lanes, checked only electronically by the new Sentry system, S-E-N-T-R-I system. The first customs stops will be a Mexican customs office in Kansas City. Their new smart port complex, a facility being built for Mexico, at a cost of $3 million to U.S. taxpayers in Kansas City. As incredible as this plan may seem to some people, the first Trans-Texas Corridor segment of the NAFTA Superhighway is ready to begin construction next year. Various U.S. government agencies, dozens of state agencies, and scores of private, non-governmental organizations have been working behind the scenes to create this superhighway. However, there is opposition, as we've already said, and the White House has commented very little on this, but their response is that you can go to our White House website and you can read about it. The American public is largely asleep in this key piece of the coming North American Union that government planners in the new trilateral region of the United States, Canada, and Mexico are about to drive into reality. Upon hearing of this project, CNN anchor Lou Dobbs, usually soft-spoken, exploded, saying, "This is a mind-boggling concept. It must cause Americans to think our political and academic elites have gone utterly mad," end of quotes. Dobbs has conducted interviews and voiced his opposition against the proposal quite often. Syndicated columnist Buchanan, in his column on Tuesday of this week, writes, quote, "Critical element of the Fox Post NAFTA agenda includes absolute freedom of movement for persons between Mexico and the United States, a merger of the nations, foreign security." Luis Ernesto Depriz put it succinctly in April 05, "What Mexico is about is complete integration of the two nations." To appreciate what Fox Debris, pastor in the CFR, wish America to merge with, consider a few excerpts from the State Department information sheet on Mexico. While hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens marched beneath Mexican flags in U.S. cities on May Day to demand amnesty, Mexico's constitution prohibits political activities by foreigners, and such actions may result in detention and deportations. Crime in Mexico continues at higher levels and is often violent, especially in Mexico City, Tijuana, Ciudad Juarez, Nuevo Laredo, and Acapulco. The State Department warns U.S. travelers to beware. He concludes his op-ed by stating, "The beneficiaries of this NAFTA superhighway project would be the contractors who build it and the importers and outlet stores for the Chinese manufactured goods that would come flooding in. The losers would be U.S. longshoremen, truckers, manufacturers, and taxpayers. The latter would pay the cost of building a highway in Mexico, and the United States, both countries, the U.S. would pay for it, both in dollars and in the lost sovereignty of our once independent American Republic. The ramifications in every sphere of life for U.S. citizens is frightful, to say the least. It is indeed, as Lou Dobbs described it, mind-boggling. But what does this have to do with Bible prophecy? Much in every way. We see more and more how the institutions and nations of this world are being forced into an economic system from which there is no way out. In the wake of the loss of national sovereignty, the cultural mores and values of the people are undermined and destroyed. Yet most U.S. citizens don't seem to mind that they are going not only slouching toward Sodom and Gomorrah, they are wallowing in the pits of moral depravity. We're more enthralled with sick murderers and child molesters than we are in coming to understand why things are the way they are." Writing hundreds of years ago, the prophet Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote of the times in which we live in Leviticus 26:14. He writes, "But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you will not do all commandments, but that you break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, then shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursues you." Yes, that is what is happening in our beloved nation today, and one could argue that this was directed toward ancient Israel. But regardless of your view on the origin of nations, the Word of God is living and sure. The nation and our nations that forget God will not survive. The psalmist declares, quote, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." That's Psalm 9, verse 17. "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." The liberals of the day would respond to that statement by saying it is ridiculous. They would rebut with something like, "Who wants to worship such a God?" This shows their ignorance of the plan and purpose of God for humankind. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But at the same time, He in His love and mercy is not going to sit idly by and let humans destroy themselves. Left to themselves without God's intervention from God, humanity would destroy themselves. Jesus states in Matthew 24:22, "Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive." Yes, the nations are being forced into an interdependent infrastructure and economic dependence in the name of security and prosperity. But when all is said and done, the global system that the beast will enforce in the union of church and state will deceive the world into worshiping Satan the devil. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, slain from the foundation of the world." Note further that the system focuses on who you will worship and the penalty for not worshiping the system. "And that he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both great and rich, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand. And no man could buy or sell or save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." So, where does all this leave you? You're left with the choice of opening the pages of your Bible and coming to know and understand the truth so you can be truly set free from fear, ignorance, and the superstitions of men, or you can believe the deceivers. Be sure to be tuned to this station next week for World News and Prophecy. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, subscription to the Good News Magazine, and What is Your Destiny, explaining the purpose and plan of God, all you have to do is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614.